Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live.
Charlton Live. Charlton Live.
Good evening and welcome to this episode of Charlton Live. It is Thursday the, what are we on, 12th of April. My name's Tom Wallin, standing in for Luis Mendez this evening. And for the next hour, we're going to be looking at arguably the career of the greatest ever Charlton player, Frederik Alvestad. Okay, maybe not. But one day I'll get my way. Instead, tonight, we'll talk about the Addicts' disappointing defeat against Wimbledon. Bet you wish we were talking about Alvestad now. We'll discuss the season ticket announcement that's been announced today and what that means for the takeover. We'll talk about the weekend's upbeats walk and look ahead to two massive games over the next week. 4 days. We take on playoff rival Scunthorpe and then travel away to title hopefuls, I guess, Shrewsbury Town. To do all that, I'm pleased to say that I'm joined in the studio by father-to-be, becoming a regular on the show these days, and what should we say, Charlton Live's official head chef, Mark Newbury. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good, thank you. I'll take that title. I think better than the old man of Charlton, so it's... We've already got that, so I'll take the head chef.
Just tell us a little bit about the food you brought in for us today.
We have got, I'll just put a picture of it on Twitter, a chocolate delice with a salted caramel, chantilly cream, and just an Oreo crust on top, just to keep you fed.
Yeah, and you said it was a bit rich. I mean, I demolished mine in about 5 minutes, so yeah, not bad at all. Right, so as we've got quite a lot to get through, I think we'll get straight to it. Now, you weren't at the game on Tuesday night. I was, for my sins. But for anyone who hasn't seen it, if you saw the first leg of Liverpool-Man City, Liverpool utterly destroying them, fast-flowing, attacking football, we're about as far away from that as possible, within the same sport, really. Second to everything, we were bullied, we were hassled, didn't really seem up for the fight, I have to say. I don't think we had any shots on target in the game. We seemed outplayed in midfield. It was so different to everything we've seen under Boya. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the highlights, Mark, and you can maybe give us some thoughts on that. But just in general, do you worry? I mean, Boya's come in. We've seen a massive upturn in form, as is the case often with a new manager. But do you worry that there's been a drop-off, or is that just one of those nights where we were beaten?
I think, to be honest, I think it's one of those nights. I mean, I followed it online, and my biggest thing is like when the team selection came out. I think Wimbledon is a horrible little ground. It's tight, it's compact. The pitch looks like a ploughed field. It wasn't a suitable... I didn't think it was a suitable pitch for him to start Mavididi up front. I mean, you're thinking, why change a winning team? Unless Jose had a knock. You know, we know Fozzie's out for a couple of weeks, so we expect that change to come in. But I thought, you know, that kind of... physical game, if you wanted to change it, maybe stick Josh on, maybe on one wing, because you know, he'll rampage down there, he'll run, but you're not going to get flowing football. And you know, Wimbledon, you know, did a job on us. They pushed high, they pushed hard. I'd have changed it. I think I'd have put Dick Steele and then put Konsa into midfield and just given it a bit more muscle there, because it seemed to be, you know, like you say, we weren't getting to anything. We weren't keeping the ball. And as soon as one of our players with flair gets it, you know, they're closed down, they're tackled. And we sort of like ran out of ideas.
Yeah, you're spot on, really. I mean, you talk about subs and we'll come on to those a bit later. But starting with that initial lineup, Boya said after the game, and we'll hear from him in a few minutes, but he said after the game there were three in midfield, but he felt that they were all running into the same areas and therefore we might as well just have had one there. And when we were at the game, I mean, every second ball, Dean Parrott, Soares, Forrester, they were the ones that were getting to every ball, really. And as you say, Forster Kaski, I felt, was almost trying to do everything on his own. I thought some of the others in there looked isolated. And yeah, I don't know whether the lineup was necessarily wrong, but it just seemed like we weren't up for the fight. And that's not something we've seen so far under Boya, is it, really?
No, I mean, possibly if it's not going to go your way, you need the stronger characters to step forward. I mean, we've got a fairly youthful midfield. Mm. I mean, there's no old head in there. And, you know, you've got to think of someone like a Jacko, you know, who can put himself around a bit and calm people down, put his foot on the ball. You know, sometimes you look at it and, you know, it's purely an excuse, because we've shown in the past couple of games where we've been terrific, a youthful team can take anybody to the cleaners. Mm. But I think maybe they've got a few old heads. I mean, especially Barry Fuller. You know, he impressed me when we played down here, because he gets kicked and he puts himself around and just gets on with it. And I like that kind of player. So,
yeah, it's funny you mentioned him, actually. My next point was kind of on that topic. So, as I say, we started the game and we can't really go into many chances because we just, to be honest, didn't have any. And they started the better. Most of the things going through Lyle Taylor, who really showed our forwards how the ball can make the ball stick and give it back to his oncoming midfield. But there seemed to be a specific target, really, for Charlton from the start, which was to attack the Wimbledon right and Barry Fuller. Now, whether that's thought that because of his experience, age, call it what you like, whether they thought he would be a bit slower and whether they thought Kai Kai could get past him. He did once, which came to nothing, but aside from that, really struggled. But everything was going through Page and Kai Kai, and Konza was out on the right-hand side for long parts of that first half in loads of space, and we weren't switching it quickly enough. So I think our tactics were slightly wrong, but just kind of on that as well. I mean, you've mentioned Fuller and the work he does, but on the other side of that, Sully Kai Kai, what have you made of him? Because as I've said on the show before, for me, the Palace thing doesn't hugely bother me, but, and he is a young player, for me, his performances just, for me, haven't been good enough. And that's got nothing to do with him coming from Palace. It's just how I see it. So what have you made of him, really?
Well, it's a strange one, because I was thinking about this when I know I was coming on today. I've been thinking about Kai Kai and thinking, is it better? I mean, his stats last year when he was away on loan were terrific. Mm. Showed he's got a real future ahead of him. Mm. Now, if he hadn't have come to us on loan and he'd gone to, say, Plymouth or back to Shrewsbury or one of the clubs who have battled with us and had a really good run and knocked in 10 goals and put us down to eighth or something, is it better to have a player who's not doing the job for us but isn't doing it better for someone else playing for us on loan? It's a strange way to look at it. But I'm thinking he could have quite easily gone back to Shrewsbury and scored 10 goals and they'd been, you know, and we'd been pushed down to eighth or something, because we... Or is it better have him in the side? I wouldn't have started with him. I think Marshall's been chewing at the bit to get on, and I think that would have been a better game for Marshall. I mean, I think Kekai's got all the skill, but I think he needs a flat surface, same as Mavididi.
Yeah.
They're greyhounds. You're not going to run like a greyhound on a pitch where you could put potatoes in.
Yeah.
So
moving on to Steffi then, that's a good place to carry on, because he played up front with Zyro. Now, on both of those, really, Zyro, first of all, looked sluggish, looked shattered. Boyer came out after the game. I don't think he says it in the interview you're going to listen to, but he said it to one of the papers and said that he told Zyro that and said he wasn't that impressed with his performance, but that he's done well in the last few games, and really that he kept him on because he's the sort of person that can score a goal. I mean, we saw him, that fantastic finish the other week against Rotherham. He has got a couple of goals in recent weeks. Thoughts on him on the whole? Kind of Tuesday night aside, where, as I say, I do think he struggled, but aside from that, what have you made of Zyro?
Well, I think, because previously under Carl kept saying, oh, he's not fit. And you're thinking, wondering, well, you know, you didn't really give him much of a chance. You didn't give him 20 minutes. You gave him 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there. And, you know, you think to yourself, players only get fit by playing in matches. They can train all they like, but they said, you know, purely playing in matches. I like the look of him. I think, you know, he's obviously using us as just to get his rehab back, because when Wolves go up, it will be straight up in the Premiership. And it wouldn't surprise me next season, because I don't know how long his contract is left at Wolves, but I think he's got a couple of years left on it. Mm. You know, he'll probably do well for them up there. Mm. You know, he's that kind of player. He can give himself time and space. And I thought he was looking good with a Jose. That's why I was surprised on Tuesday. You know, he changed it and put Mavididi, because I think they were a different type of player, him and Jose.
Yeah, Steffi did struggle up front as well. I mean, do you think he was looking ahead to the weekend with a Jose or McGuinness? Because, as you say, a Jose, I mean, we'll talk about something that Boyer might have said to him during the game on Tuesday, but a Jose on the whole has played well under Boyer.
He's played terrifically well, and you know, I think he's been unlucky not to score, but his team play, which is very important, has been exemplary. Mm. He's put himself around. So I don't know if Boyer's planning that far ahead. I mean, if he is, it's just a mistake. I mean, we saw that happen you know, if you look up a few leagues, Guardiola did it, rested players in the derby, looking forward to thinking they could overturn Liverpool, and it bit them on the backside both times. So good
to know that Boyer is in line with Guardiola then so far.
He's got a better record over the last five games.
That's true. Very true. I think I have. So, yeah, there isn't really much to speak of in terms of chances. I mean, Kai Kai had a free kick which went harmlessly over the bar. To be honest, they didn't have a huge amount of chances either. And as the ball went up for half-time, I said to Lewis Catt, who I went with, you know, if we go in at 0-0, you know, it's been a poor half for Charlton, we'd take that. And no sooner had we done that, we went from passing it around their 18-yard box and decided to go all the way back to Bauer. Now, there's no covering it up. It's Bauer's mistake. He slips and Lyle Taylor goes through one-on-one with Ben Amos and slots it through his legs to give them the lead right on half-time. But for anyone who's seen that goal, either was there or seen the highlights, whilst it is his individual mistake, that the fact that he got it in the first place and we went all that way back, I mean, we've seen Charlton do it in the past and it came under criticism under Robbo, but when you're in that attacking third with 30 seconds left, surely just keep the ball up there, wouldn't you say?
You'd have thought so. I mean, the thing is, it's happened with Bauer a couple of times where he's slipped. Mm. And, you know, in home games here, I remember once him just slipped over and the guy's gone on and scored. Mm. It's a difficult one because you're thinking, you know, like you say, time management, game management, that's where the older head comes in and say, like, keep it in the corner. It goes out for a throw. You know, they're not going to pile it forward with a minute to go because they don't want to be caught.
Yeah.
So to put him under the pressure like that, and, you know, I think, you know, Bauer's a good defender. Do I think he's a decent passer, can trap it? Not. I don't think he's the best back of a back four we've got who can do that. So,
but funnily enough, him and Pearce, who've obviously made the two mistakes that have cost us points in the last two games, have arguably been really solid in the last few games. So,
is it just one of those things? Yeah, and they can pop up with goals. Mm. You know, the thing is, so, you know, Bauer scored our first of the season. So it's, and I think with that, mistakes happen. It's just if the other team punishes you after that mistake, and it's happened twice recently, we've made mistakes and we've been punished, which sometimes in this league you get two or three chances and they don't put it away. So
second half, or at half time actually, we saw Jose warm up quite furiously. So we thought perhaps he'd be coming on start of second half, but that didn't happen. But there were no changes. We were a little improved and we were slightly quicker, but I mean, we're comparing poor with extremely poor, really. And then we started to make our substitutions. The first one was Mavididi coming off for McGuinness on 55. He touched the ball maybe once, twice in the game. Reeves came off then for Ben Marshall, I think on around 70 minutes. And then eventually Kai Kai, who, as I say, had come in for a lot of criticism on the game, was brought off for a Jose on 80 minutes. But again, between the three of them, there wasn't too much change. I mean, Pearce really had the only chance, decent chance, and that was a header against the post. But aside from that, I don't think their keeper had anything to do. So we talked a lot, particularly during the start of the season when we had the injuries, about the lack of strength in depth. We've got that depth on the bench now. And again, if I go back to when I was there with Lewis, we were looking and we were saying, you know, you've got McGuinness, you've got Marshall, you've got a Jose off the bench. We can change this game. And they came on and they didn't. Now, do you think that's because that's the wrong changes at the wrong time or the wrong positions? Or do you worry that despite having those options, when a team puts 10 behind the ball, we're a side that just struggle to break them down?
I think if Boyer wanted to make a real change, you make three subs in one go. Mm. Say, look, I'm giving you 5 minutes after half-time. Say, I'm giving you 5 minutes to either show me you've got for cojones to go on and turn it around, or do something, or I'm hoiking three of you off, and it doesn't care which three I take off, three of you are coming off. Mm. And so you'd get that kind of feedback. But to put them on in a drip. I mean, 10 minutes for a Jose when you're chasing a game, I don't think is enough. I think, you know, most professional players say 10 minutes doesn't get you up to the speed of a game. Mm. As well. And Wimbledon knew what we were going to be doing, and, you know, they were quite prepared for it. So I think, all honesty, and all the reports and all the people I've spoken to about the game, is that, you know, we got what we deserved out of that. You know, and if we'd got a draw, it probably would have been a bit of a travesty. Mm.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think you're probably right. Now, we spoke on the show a couple of weeks ago. We wondered how Boyer would be during defeat. We'll hear from him in a second, but he was very, very animated on the touchline, continually berating the fourth official, which is something you'd expect and you probably quite enjoy from your own manager. So aside from that, I don't know if you've been there from before, but it's a tiny ground, and the away fans stand right behind the away dugout. And there are a few people heard this, a Jose and Bauer in a discussion. Now, it ended with a Jose shuffling off down the touchline to go and warm up, and Bowyer, shouted something at him. Now, I can't repeat it here, but it involved him never speaking in that way again towards Bowyer. Now, as far as I could tell, and I asked a few people around us, nobody heard what a Jose said to him. A Jose then spent the next 10 minutes warming up as far away from the dugout as he could. And when he was called back to be brought on, he spent the time in conversation with Jacko, while Bowyer stood right at the opposite end of the dugout. Now, hopefully, the fans, we quite enjoyed it. We had a laugh about it. Jose, as we said, has come in. He's worked hard. He did a feature with a local newspaper the other week where he said, you know, I'm dedicated. I want to be here. I didn't want to go out on loan. And I think he's shown that in performances. So do you think it's something in the heat of the moment being 1-0 down, or do you worry that there's a breakdown in relationships? Because they both come across as feisty characters.
I'd say it's you'd hope it's a heat of the moment thing. It's funny because I've worked in many kitchens over the years, and obviously as a chef you get a bit of a reputation, and I'm not a kind of Ramsay shouter, but you know, if it had to be done, it had to be done, and you'd shout at somebody or scream at a waiter. But I'd always say to them, you know, afterwards, this is why I was shouting, this is why I was screaming, and tomorrow is a new service. Don't come in tomorrow with a hump, because I'm just going to treat you normally.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to sulk, that's down to you, but tomorrow's a new day, so come in, show me in training why I'm going to pick you. You know, don't go off and sulk behind the goal. You know, be man up about it. And it's sometimes it's easier said than done. I mean, it's difficult because Bowyer's a new manager. And if he thinks that he's been undermined by one of the senior players, which, you know, Jose's got a few games under his belt, he's might take that as a slight. And so that's why you've got Jacko there, almost as an intermediary to say, look, this is why he said that, this is why I said that, shake hands, get on with it.
Yeah, and I mean, whilst a few fans were laughing about it at the time, there were a few who said, you know, shouted at Jose and said, you know, respect the manager, you've got to respect the manager. And so I think on that note, we'll hear what Bowyer had to say after the 1-0 defeat to Wimbledon on Tuesday.
On Saturday, there's likely to be a tough battle, and so it proved, and your first defeat in charge, it's a tough night.
Yeah, very tough. We knew what it was going to be like. That's the way they play. We prepared for that. And they done what they do. They competed better than us. I think we competed, but I think they was just a lot stronger than us. Won more balls, but it's a mistake. The goal's a mistake, you know, and same as Saturday. So we dropped more points again today from a mistake, which is you can't control that, you know. But listen, look at the positive side of it. Like we're still in sixth and it's still in our hands. I just said to the lads, we're still in sixth and we've still got five games to go. Five games to go and it's all in our hands. So it is what it is. But now we can't afford any more slip-ups. Simple as that. We have to win on Saturday at home. And we'll just keep working hard and making sure that we end up with the goal that I've said that we will get all along.
We seem to have struggled to get our little passing game going and trying to get through the Wimbledon defence, and they marshalled us pretty well, and we didn't really create an awful lot going forward except for towards the end with the header off the post.
Yeah, no, I agree. But again, that's what they do. They're good at what they do, and they stopped us playing. I think they just dropped into a 4-4 and just said, come and break us down. There was no space really for our players to get onto the ball. And that's what it was, you know. It was a difficult night. We didn't hold it up again up top. Same as Saturday. So if you're not holding it up, you're never going to get out. And every time it went up, front men never held it up. They won it, hooked it on. Their front man, Taylor, I thought was outstanding. And that was the difference, I think.
They seem to have they've probably done their homework. Joe Rebo didn't seem to get any room in the midfield, where he's been getting that little pockets in the previous games to be able to influence things.
Yeah, but I said to them at half time, I think we made it easy for them because they only had two in the middle of the park and we had three. But we all seemed to be going in the same area. We was congestion everything so their two could cope with our three. Instead of keeping like apart and giving yourself some distance, which will make it harder for their midfielders to get close to us, but we didn't. So in second half, then we just didn't really pass it at all. When we did, it was too slow, and like when it was on to switch, we wouldn't switch, and then when we did, it was too late, and then it just wasn't a very good performance. You know, did we deserve anything from the game? Probably not. If I'm honest, it's nowhere near what we've been showing since I've been in charge. So it's disappointing, you know. But like I said, we've got five games to go and it's still in our hands. So I'm still confident. And I've just said to the lads, like, put that behind us. It's done now. We come in Thursday and we all stick together. And we have to start working hard and getting ready for Saturday's game.
And it is your first defeat in charge, so it's a new era for you, a new area to think about. So how do you go about picking them up for next Saturday?
Well, we come in Thursday and we start again. It's a fresh day. A new team to play, and as much as like this is hurting me, I can guarantee you that it's hurting the lads, because this is a game that I think we should be winning. And because all I've done has been positive around the place and towards the lads, you know, so their belief is there. So when you do lose, when your belief is there and when you've been on the run that we've been on, then it hurts more. So hopefully that I'll get the reaction that I'm thinking I'm going to get, because everybody's hurting at the moment.
You made the change from Saturday, two changes for today. I'm assuming that's because of the Saturday-Tuesday games. Does that mean you'll do it again for this game?
Yeah, obviously with Saturday-Tuesday, because the work rate that I'm asking them to play, like, to put in is more than what they've had to put in before. So obviously my fullbacks, they're up and down. They've not had to do that before. Strikers, Nicky's just obviously been out all season. So for him to go Saturday-Tuesday, and Zorro, obviously it's been difficult for him, but I think I had to leave him on, like put Marshy on to get the ball wide, to get balls into the box, which again didn't really happen. So I had to keep the two big ones up top, you know, like they're an aerial threat, and I tried to put Nicky on to be a little poacher in and around, but we just didn't. We took too long to get it wide and get balls in the box. Their goal come from us having the ball in and around their 18 yard area, and then it goes all the way back into our own half to Pat, who's halfway in his half. Like, it was just wrong. The goal was wrong, and some of their decision making was wrong. But listen, everybody makes mistakes, and we're human, and that won't happen again Saturday.
We got any news on injury front? Anybody likely to be back in contention for Saturday?
Nobody knew we'd be coming back, that's for sure. So the squad we've got at the moment is the squad that we'll have on Saturday, which is good enough to win for sure.
Well, tough night tonight, good luck on Saturday. Cheers.
Thank you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dennis is fed in, lovely touch, goes round his player, chips across the box, Jackson! Oh, yes!
What an over, Johnny Jackson!
arriving late in the box. Holmes Dennis with a pinpoint cross, and the skipper's given Charlton the lead.
Charlton Live.
That won't happen again on Saturday, says Lee Bowyer. And on a more positive note, probably not based on Tuesday night for any of you, but probably going to start thinking about our players of the season. The club usually have people going around over the last couple of home games with clipboards asking for people. I think there are two or three maybe standout candidates. I'm not going to say who I voted for in my predictions, which will be revealed at the end of the season, but Mark, who are yours?
Right, I've got seven names, which sounds like a lot because we haven't had that good a season.
Sounds optimistic.
I'll run through them very quickly. Amos.
Yep.
Little Jay De Silva.
Yep.
Konsa.
Yep.
Jake Foster Kasky.
Yep.
Aribo.
Yep.
And Josh McGuinness.
Yep.
And Fosu. And it's funny because people are going to go, McGuinness, oh. Mm. But I've looked at McGuinness's work all season. You know, okay, he's not played for the last few games, but I think it's just for rest he's needed.
Yeah.
Out of those, I think it's going to be between Little Jay De Silva, JFC and Fozzie, and I think it's going to go to Foster Kasky because I think people tend to vote on how they remember even the last few games, and I think the last few games he's been captain material.
Yeah.
But personally, I'm going to vote for Little Jay De Silva because okay. I think he's had the best season.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. I think I probably would say Jake Foster Kasky at this stage. I think I agree with most of those. I think Konsa and Aribo probably kind of half seasons each, but when they have been in, I think they've been brilliant. And I agree with you, McGuinness. I know we've kind of defended him a lot on this show, and I understand why he's coming for criticism, but I think he's had a tough job up there on his own.
Yeah.
But so look out. As I say, there'll be staff around, hopefully. Get your votes in over the next couple of home games. But as I say, there's two or three players that I think stand out for sure. Saturday, as well as that, it's not just a huge game on the pitch, which we will start to get to in the next 5 minutes, but it's also Upbeats Day, raising money for the Charlton Upbeats, the Charlton Down Syndrome team. It starts with the Upbeats Walk. Now, Mark and I, along with a few other Charlton Live faces and plenty of others, some legends, did it last year. It's by far away my highlight of the season. The togetherness, the money raised, it was just a fantastic day. It shows everything that's good about Charlton. It's just so special. Now, I know you can't do it this year, but how good is it to do that walk and to just see the difference it makes?
Oh, it's an unbelievable day, and I'm truly really sort of like gutted that I can't do it. And I mean, it's well represented by the rest of Charlton Live, and Nath, Terry, and Louis.
Yeah,
joining yourself. You feel so proud to be doing something for these guys because as soon as you turn up and you register, you know they're there saying, "What do you want to drink? Do you want something to eat? You know, here's your socks, here's your t-shirt,"
yeah.
And the friendliness and the community feel and. It's hard because it makes me feel. It's funny. I always get emotional when I talk about the Upbeats because I'm thinking the shirt means so much to them.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking if half of what it meant to them of what you could apply to some of our players.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have an unbelievable
the
team
of this world.
And yeah, and so when you see that, and they're a terrific team to watch play football. Mm. I mean, unbelievably good.
I mean, we'll see them on the pitch at some point. I think last year, I can't remember who they played. Was it Brighton?
But it was Brighton.
And they won, 12-13-0?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be the same again, it's such a joy to watch.
Yeah, I mean, they're organised. I mean, sometimes when you watch some of these teams, you know, it's an enjoyment, it's a game. But the Charlton boys seem in such a professional, take it on in such a professional manner. They're very regimented. You know, they're warming up, they're staying in position, they're not, and some of the goals, and like I say, it's worth coming along early to see it and see the celebrations when they score. Because if that doesn't give you a tingle and make you feel something, you know, you're going to be dead from the scalp down, seriously.
I think, Bob Boulder and Simon Webster have been announced. There are a few other legends, I'm sure, that will be there. There is an article that's gone up on the official site today, so I urge you to look at that. It's got a few stats about... What a difference it makes, the impact of the Upbeats programme. And it's just such brilliant work, again, that the Trust do. But as you say, just on the pitch as well, they're brilliant. Now, earlier this week, Billy Birchmore and Jack Lyons from the team, Billy Birchmore, 11-time gold medalist at the Down Syndrome International Swimming Organisation Championships, and Jack Lyons, who represents Team GB, took on Josh McGuinness and Jake Forster-Caskey in an 8-lap race. And I think the first team has bit off more than they could chew, and the upbeats blew them out of the water, so to speak.
Oh, it was amazing, and I recommend anyone who hasn't seen it to find it, because, I mean, Billy Birchmore must be part fish, because he shoots through that water literally like a missile.
Like lightning, isn't it?
And he turns and he kicks, and he's gone a good sort of like 10-15 meters before he pops out of the water, and he could literally stop, have a cup of tea, and like Josh, to be quite fair, was, you know, was giving it a good old go, but Billy just took him to the cleaners. I don't know. I hope I had money on it. That's what I'm saying.
So I don't know if it's too late to sign up for the walk. Obviously, depending when you listen as well, that may be the case. But you can definitely still donate. There's a link on the CAFC Community Trust website. I've tweeted the link out from my profile as well, at Wallin58. They've already raised over 5,500. They're targeting 20,000. I'm sure they'll do it. But again, just seeing that money start to roll in just warms your cockles, doesn't it, Mark?
It does. I mean, it pays for so much, you know, if they go abroad on tournaments. And they represent Charlton, and they represent it with integrity and honesty and professionalism. And, you know, it's one of the things where you guys don't, you know, over the last few years, we've had a lot to be embarrassed about, you don't want to tell people you're a Charlton fan.
Yeah.
When you look at the upbeats and what they do, and this, you know, what the Trust does, it makes you one of the proudest moments to say, you know what, I'm a Charlton fan, and this is what we do. This sums up the club.
Couldn't agree more. So obviously we hope that Charlton beat Scunthorpe on Saturday, but I'm sure just in general, the upbeats will be a special day. We're just going to take a quick 45-second break, and we'll be back to talk about season tickets.
Well, Conte does superbly well to win it off of Maloney, and now set up Ahern Grant on the left-hand side of the penalty area. Ahern Grant, little step over, ball back across, oh, behind everybody. It's going to be picked up by Forster-Caskey on the other side of the penalty area. Forster-Caskey, left foot shot. Oh, what a goal!
Oh, what a finish!
Oh, what a belter from Jake Forster-Caskey to absolutely round off a glorious afternoon for the Addicts.
Stop singing along before we go back on air then. So season tickets, they were announced today as promised. It was either going to be a takeover or season tickets, and I'm sure we're all pleased to hear it's just season tickets. There has been a slight increase. I'll read you a little bit from the piece that's gone out again on the official site. Adult season tickets beginning at just £200, £8.70 per match. Under 11s are completely free in the family stand, but there has been a slight increase across the ground. Charlton have put that down to higher security and counter-terrorism requirements, inflation and the increase in minimum wage. They have said that they've tried to keep these to a minimum, continuing to offer affordable family football in SE7. There are potentially three price phases, phase one obviously at the moment, with phase two and three I think coming from the 14th of May. Prices for those two phases haven't yet been announced, I assume dependent on the takeover and possibly what division we're going to be in. And they have scaled down the zones, so I think they've gone down from 5 zones to 4 zones to try and make things a bit more simple. They've also introduced a loyalty scheme this season. I think they've spoken to a few different supporters groups along with the Trust. I assume to make it easier for people who are serial away attendees but perhaps not season ticket holders or members of Valley Gold who feel they deserve, you know, priority tickets, I think understandably so, to other games. They go to a lot of games, so that's going to be in place from this season as well. All the information is on the website, and Mark, first of all, it means the takeover hasn't happened. What do you make of the changes? What do you make of the, what should we call them, excuses or reasons behind the increase? And more importantly, who's been setting the prices?
Take the last one first. Who's been setting the prices? Well, that is almost a $1 million question. Roland has no interest in the club. so don't think it'd be him. Mm. Possibly, you know, someone along the board has gone, well, you know, if we just hoik it up a touch, you know, that'll be acceptable to the people coming in. Possibly they've spoken to the two parties, because we still think it's two parties on the takeover, in some kind of consultancy to say, are you happy with this if we put this out? Because obviously they don't want to take it over, and the people come in and say, well, actually, we were going to offer you £150,
yeah,
you know, season tickets, just to get some bottoms back on seats. So possibly there has been something done with agreement with either of the two parties. It does seem strange. The reasons stroke excuses, you know, higher security measures. I'm not sure how high we are up on ISIS's plans to overthrow the Western world. You know, especially some of the games we've had this season where the crowd's been less than the players on the pitch. But I can understand, you know, people say that, say, oh, it's a safety reason. The minimum wage thing, well, we've lost staff left, right and centre. So, you know, the minimum wage isn't going to take in that much into account. Mm. You know, they've closed certain areas of refreshments. They've closed certain areas of the ground. Mm. So, therefore, you don't need to steward empty seats. So, you know, that sounds like a bit of an empty thing. I'd rather they just said, this is the price, and not try to justify it with an excuse which can be picked apart in 2 minutes. Mm. It's an awkward one. Obviously, they want more people to sit behind the lower north, you know, because that's still... I mean,
I don't, because the leg room's appalling. And I get a nice view at the moment, so you should be in front of me.
Do what I do, sit in the very front. I sit in the very front row. You get very wet, you know, and occasionally you do get smacked in the face with a ball. But you do have an extremely good view.
And I do enjoy watching your celebrations on Valley Pass every week.
Yeah, and you see a fat guy who looks like Homer Simpson dancing along. That's me.
It's always a post-game highlight for me.
And so, you know, but the upper north is where the atmosphere is created. So it makes no sense to raise the price up there. I mean, yes, people have said, you know, when Rowley's gone, they'll renew. But how many people are going to go, you know what, I said I'd renew, but the prices have now gone up a touch, and I didn't really miss it when I didn't go.
Yeah.
So,
that's the concern, isn't it? People, you know, you fall out of that routine. You know, Charlton, to me, I will keep coming every week. But if I don't for a period of time, for example, if I was to have twin boys... You know, and with the regime and everything, you might start to lose interest. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know whether the prices are necessarily going to encourage people back. And I know Card have put out a statement today saying, look, hold off on your season tickets until we know what's going on with the takeover, which is something similar they did to last year. I guess some people will be persuaded by the potential of increases for phase 2 and 3. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. So moving forward, as I say, two huge games coming up. Scunthorpe at home, obviously on Saturday, and then a tricky task away to Shrewsbury on Tuesday night. We're going to start to look ahead to those games now, and we'll start with an interview I did on Monday. So this was before the Wimbledon game. I spoke to Paul Crute, who works for the Scunthorpe Telegraph, who gave me the lowdown on how their season has been going so far.
Great. So I'm talking to Paul Crute from the Scunthorpe Telegraph. Paul, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. Yourself, Tom?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. So Scunthorpe obviously sitting ninth currently. If you could just kind of sum up the season so far for those of us who perhaps haven't followed Scunthorpe as closely as you have.
It's probably been a season of two halves, really. Started off reasonably well. Not as good as last season, but I think that was going to be a very, very hard act to follow. But from the middle of October, we were in the top six and we've maintained that position. But since the turn of the year, it's been very, very disappointing. We've only won once in 15 games now. Haven't kept a clean sheet since New Year's Day, which was against Bury. And it's just, we've finally fallen out of the playoffs, I think. People maybe expected it to come a bit sooner with the run that we're on, but the same thing happened last season. It just feels a bit deja vu, because we went on a 9-game winless run last season, which dropped us out of the automatic promotion spots, but this season we're in the playoffs, and we've dropped out of the playoffs due to another poor run.
And of course, you talk about that poor run. I think it's been 8 games without a win, which eventually cost Graham Alexander his job. What do you think's changed? I mean, last season, as you say, okay, you had that bad run towards the end, but he got you into the playoffs, lost to Millwall, much to the dismay of Charlton fans as well. But as you say, you started this season pretty well as well. So what do you think has changed towards the end of this season or since the new year?
It's very hard to put your finger on one particular thing. There was a couple of things that have gone against him. During the January transfer window, we sold Paddy Madden, which was probably the correct decision because he struggled to find the net. I think there might have been a bit of a falling out with Graham Alexander on the way. But we also sold Kevin Von Veen, who was just coming into form. I think he scored 6 in his last 9 games before he left us. And we failed to replace him, really. We brought in Ivan Toney, who's done very well since he came in. But I think the club were looking to sign a replacement for Kev, and we didn't get one. Owen Doyle was on the radar, but he decided to go back to Oldham. And we maybe just lacked that cutting edge, having only 3 strikers. And Lee Novak and Ivan Toney have been injured at different points, which at times has left us with just 1 striker. But saying that, scoring goals hasn't been the problem. It's keeping them out at the other end that for some reason has been the problem. Earlier in the season, I think we kept 7 clean sheets in 8, but as I mentioned previously, we've not managed to keep one since New Year's Day, and whether that's been down to different people coming in or whether it's just down to bad luck, because there has been a few deflected goals, or it's just one of those things, not too sure. But the other thing that irked quite a lot of Scunthorpe fans was the fact we were playing Murray Wallace at left back. Murray Wallace, probably one of the best centre backs in the division, we were playing him at left back.
Right.
And then leaving Connor Townsend, who's probably one of the best left backs in the division, on the bench. And I think that annoyed quite a lot of Scunthorpe fans. And although you can't just point to that as a reason for such a bad run, it was maybe a contributing factor.
And the chairman came out in an interview, I think, recently and blamed the players. I mean, from what you've said, it seems to be more that players perhaps playing out of position or some players being sold. So do you maybe not agree with that? Or is that something you think perhaps the players could be doing more as well?
I think that the players have got to take part of the responsibility. But there was a lot of talk about square pegs in round holes, which obviously wasn't working. But I think with anything, it's obviously the manager takes the full responsibility and pays for it with his job, but the players are the ones that are out there on the pitch, and they've got to take part of the responsibility, whether they're not performing, whether they're fatigued, whatever the reason is. They do have to take part of the responsibility because those are the ones out on the pitch.
Yeah, sure. Talking of players on the pitch, Andrew Cross and Lee Novak obviously both left Charlton for Scunthorpe at the start of the season. I saw Novak got the equaliser last time out against Wimbledon. Just in general, over the season, how have those two got on? Are they people playing regularly? Or I think you said Novak's been a bit injured. Are they in and out of the side?
I'll start with Andrew Cross first, because he's probably the easy one to deal with. Unfortunately, since he's been at Scunthorpe, he's struggled with injury, really.
Right.
He came in on deadline day, as you said, and I think he was injured within the first couple of games. And that's held him back, really. And then we've brought in other players, and he slipped down the pecking order, and apart from 3 or 4 games, he really hasn't had a look in, really. We've got Funzo Ojo, Neil Bishop, who have been the mainstays of the centre midfield, and then we've brought in Ryan Yates on loan from Notts Forest, and Cameron McGeehan on loan from Barnsley during January, and he's just slipped down the pecking order. And if he's ever had any chance of a look in, he hasn't proved himself, so it's been a bit of a disappointing campaign for him. I don't think he'll get a new contract at the end of the season when his current deal runs out.
Yeah.
In terms of Novak's been a bit more of a success. He came in on deadline day again. Started reasonably well. He scored against our local rivals Doncaster, and I think his first start, which obviously endeared him to the fans quite a lot, as you can imagine. But again, he's scored quite a few important goals, but again, he's been one that's suffered from injury as well. He's been out since mid-February with a heel injury, troublesome heel injury, and it took a bit of time to get to the bottom of that. And he's just come back. He got 5 minutes against Oxford on Good Friday, and then about 20 minutes against Wimbledon on Saturday, and as you said, came up with the winning goal. But Nick Dawes, the interim manager, said he's still not ready for a full 90 minutes yet until he gets fully up to speed.
Yeah, no doubt he'll score against his former club at the weekend.
Yeah, I talked to him on Saturday, actually, and he says, yeah, it would be nice to score, but for him, it doesn't matter who he scores against as long as Scunthorpe win. But he was very complimentary about Lee Bowyer and his influence before, obviously, he got the job.
Of course, yeah. So we played Bristol Rovers last weekend, who were kind of just outside that kind of playoff cluster that we're in with yourselves and Peterborough and Portsmouth and Plymouth. It seemed from the people we spoke to from there that they said they were kind of out of the playoff hunt now and kind of focusing towards next season. Is that same feeling with Scunthorpe? I mean, it's 10 without a win now, 3-1 all draws in a row. But I mean, as I say, you are still in that cluster. Do you still see the playoffs as a very realistic possibility?
I think I do, speaking at this present time, because we're on 61 points, Plymouth are fifth with 63, so there's nothing in it at the moment. But what I would say, that can all change very quickly. I think we can't lose on Saturday, because if Charlton win their game in hand against Wimbledon tomorrow, and then they beat us on Saturday, then that's 7 points in the gap with 5 games to go, which at this stage of the season would be a very big gap to try and claw back. So it's a definitely not lose game, because I think if we do lose it, then you could possibly say that's the players goodbye. I think it could be a season defining game for us in terms of where we want to be next season.
Okay, and in November, obviously up at Glanford Park, Scunthorpe were 2-0 winners with two pretty sensational strikes from Josh Morris, really. Who's the man to watch out for this time? Who should we be looking out for, Addicts fans?
I mean, you mentioned those Josh Morris goals. Yes, they were spectacular, but Josh hasn't hit the heights that he did last season. He got all the headlines last season for his amazing scoring record. I think scoring more than 20 goals from midfield is pretty special, but he's not hit those heights this season. This season, there's probably been two standout performances. I would say Funzo Ojo, he was a relative unknown when he came here. He came here from Willem II, playing in the Dutch League. First time in English football, and he's taken to it like a duck to water, really. He's been, some of the games he's played, and he's been absolutely sensational. He very rarely loses the ball in midfield, and he can play a killer pass. There's two or three goals we've scored this season which have been created by him, and it's just his vision. So he can pick out the killer pass. He was missing against Wimbledon on Saturday with a knee injury, but Nick Dawes hopes he's back in training early this week. So if he's fit enough, he should feature. I think the other player you've got to look out for is Dwayne Holmes on the right wing, or more recently he's been playing behind a lone striker. He's got pace to burn. He's very, very skillful, capable of going on a run. And again, I think he's scored about 9 or 10 goals this season. So definitely those are the two players to watch out for.
Brilliant, thank you. And then just to finish up, a very quick prediction from yourself on the score?
I think probably 1-1, I would think. Charlton obviously on a very good run at the moment, ourselves not on a great run. So I think I'm maybe going to have to sit on the fence and say 1-1 draw.
That's fair enough. Well, Paul, thanks very much for taking the time. Saturday aside, obviously wish you luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Paul Crute there from the Scunthorpe Telegraph. With his views on the game, he's predicting 1-1. I mean, if we look at Scunthorpe's last few results, they've drawn their last three, as I said, in the interview there, 1-1. Before that, they'd lost 3 and drawn 4 of the last ones, so they haven't won since the 3rd of February. Still in that playoff hunt, as I said, but low on form. A game we should be winning?
Yes, I'd say. You know, I think you've got to be positive about this. You know, if Bowyer can get them out of the funk from the loss, and, you know, correct the mistakes. We've shown at home, you know, of how we can play and play well. I mean, if I don't think they're as good as Plymouth, and we made Plymouth look very ordinary. I think sometimes it will come down to when we see the team on Saturday, to if he goes back to, you know, the winning team, who, if he drops someone or brings someone in. I think his only choices are, does he drop Mavididi and Kakai out and put a Jose and Josh in, and play that way? Again, I'd play, it's funny because I like the lad, I'd play Dichtel on the right because I think he gets forward a lot better than Konsa does. Konsa's probably a better player, but I think once he goes over the halfway line, he's not as confident. I think Dichtel is a better overlapper.
And I've got
on the other side, you know, I'd probably keep Paige, and use little Jay De Silva on the Tuesday night.
Scunthorpe in ninth, 61 points. Us obviously in sixth on 62. But I mean, as we've said many times, Plymouth 63, Portsmouth 62 with us, Peterborough 61 as well. It's anyone's guess, isn't it, really? But we have performed with those sides around us. And as Lee said, and we'll hear from him pre-game in just a second, but as he said, it's not going to be like it was on Tuesday again at the weekend. So do you expect a reaction?
Oh, no, big time. I think it'd be... I think Carl couldn't get it out of the team in the end. He couldn't get them to change their mental side to it. But I think that came down to the formation he was playing. Mm. I think Bowyer's going to be a lot more in people's faces and a lot more in individuals and saying, right, this is what you did wrong. This is, you know, he'll know from being the coach, who's he put an arm round and who's he put a boot up? You know, because some players are going to react differently to different things.
Well, let's see if Bowyer mentions who he's going to put a boot up. In his pre-match press conference, he spoke to the club and assembled journalists, I imagine, today, and this is what he had to say.
Caretaker manager Lee Bowyer ahead of Saturday's home game with Scunthorpe. Lee, you tasted defeat for the first time at AFC Wimbledon on Tuesday. What were your emotions at the final whistle?
Disappointment. Nobody likes to lose, and just from a sloppy goal, really. And I don't think there was much in the game. It wasn't a pretty game. So, yeah, disappointment more than anything.
And when you slept on it?
Still disappointing. I think when you lose, it takes a good 24, 48 hours to get out of your system. But now it's Thursday and you move on. Most important thing now is that we turn that around for Saturday's performance.
It's been said that your opponents mustn't chart out of contention. Do you subscribe to that?
Say that again, sorry?
It's been said that Wimbledon mustn't chart out of contention.
Contention for what?
For a point or three?
No, we give them a goal. That was it. They didn't create many chances, I didn't think. Neither did we. But it was a physical game. It was always going to be a physical game. That's the way they play. And I suppose they're good at it. They've got some big lads. But I would say that my players competed. Okay, physically, they might have been a bit stronger at times. But that's the type of players that they have. So they might have been better at it at times. But my lads didn't just lay down and roll over. They went to the final minute. And I wouldn't agree with that at all. Yeah, they won the game, but it was something that we gave them. So apart from that, I don't think that they would have scored. And if we hadn't have given that just before half time, who knows? We might have gone on and won the game. It was going to be a scrappy game, and they got the 3 points. But I wouldn't say that they done that. No.
You've gone on record as saying Saturday's game with Scunthorpe is a must win.
Yeah, I think that's stating the obvious. They're just behind us. And we've got 5 games to stay in the playoffs. We win all 5, we're in the playoffs. It's as simple as that. So being at home Saturday with our crowd behind us, obviously the previous 2 games that I've been in charge, being at home, I think we've played really well, and the crowd have got behind us. So I think I'm expecting the same on Saturday.
suggest that you're expecting a big, big positive reaction from your players?
Yeah, of course, because like as much as it hurt me on Tuesday, I know it hurt them as well. Any professional don't want to lose a game, especially this stage of the season. So I have no doubt I'll have the response today, this morning, in training. Most of them are going to be sitting in today, like resting, and because obviously there's been a lot of games recently and some of them are a bit sore. But the ones that will be training, they'll be at it, I have no doubt.
Have you got enough fit players to make changes, should you wish to make changes?
Yes, because we had six on the bench the other day, so them players could obviously feature. I think I've got two or three coming back, just speaking to the physio there, I think I've got two or three coming back and start training Sunday, so might be a little bit too late, but the lads that I've got available, there's no reason why that's not a strong enough squad to go and win Saturday, whether I make changes or not.
Is Cashy fit?
No.
In a word.
Yeah, no, he's not fit. He's doing some running, but he's not going to be fit to be on the bench or anything. So maybe Sunday, he might start training with us again on Sunday. But we'll have to wait and see with Cashy.
Lee, thank you very much.
Lee, can you tell us who those two or three players
are? Cashy, Nabi Sarr and Tariq might be training again Sunday.
How they get through that with Tuesday,
is
it
too
early now to say?
I don't know. I wish I could see into the future, but I can't. Hopefully they'll get through Sunday. They're going to be doing little bits themselves now with the medical staff. But if they get through Sunday, then they'll be in contention for Tuesday for sure.
Yeah, just was wondering, obviously your first loss as a manager. Did you learn anything more about yourself?
Myself?
Not really. As a manager, obviously, as a manager.
Not really. Obviously, I don't like losing, and that's never changed, and that never will change. So I haven't really learnt much about that game now for myself. I know I don't like losing, and that I know now that hasn't changed as a manager. So yeah. Nothing really, no.
Yeah, and on Saturday, Charlton Scunthorpe, obviously, promotion 6.0. I mean, the team that loses, do they still have a chance of promotion?
Yeah, of course. Of course, you don't know how the other results are going to go. Football's crazy. Like, everyone could just go and lose the next five games, all the teams in and around it, and then we're still in the playoffs. So we can't predict what's going to happen. I don't think that'll happen. But
yeah,
Saturday's a big game, but so was Rotherham, and so was Tuesday night, and they're all big games now. There's five left. And the good thing is, the positive thing is that it's in our hands, so we're not depending on anybody else. So I'm excited for the next five games, and we start on Saturday.
Does the game have a similar feeling to maybe Plymouth, obviously coming back from a bad result, Fleetwood, 0-0,
a
similar feel?
Not really. I wouldn't say it's a similar feel, because before Plymouth we had 10 games to go and we were 5 points out of the playoffs. Now we're in the playoffs with only five games to go, so I don't think it's a similar feel. I think they're a similar team to Plymouth. But I don't think it's a similar feel. I think we're in a better position now. I think the players are in a better position in their minds now as well. So everyone's still together, and I think and I'm expecting a big reaction on Saturday.
Yeah, on Tuesday we saw Joe Piggott start against his former club. He played okay. On Saturday, Lee Novak returns to the Valley for the first time. Obviously, you worked with him for a bit as an assistant manager. Why did it didn't really work out for him?
Why didn't it work out for him? Because in the time I was here, he was injured most of it.
Really?
Yeah. So I think he's a nice lad, and he works hard. Whenever he did play for us, he gave 100%. You can't knock him for that. But it just didn't happen for him here, and unfortunately, as a player, sometimes players are at clubs and it doesn't work out for him. And he's gone there, and I think he's been scoring some goals. So I wish him all the best, but that's about it, really.
Yeah, because he kind of did Charlton a favour last weekend, scoring against AFC Wimbledon. And you mark him as a danger man on Saturday. On the danger man.
Any striker's a danger man. That's their job, to be danger men and to score goals. And Lee's been on a little run, coming off the bench and scoring goals. So it's not just him. You've got 11 players out there, and they can all be dangerous at one stage or another.
Yeah, and Tuesday you said about Michael Zari that you weren't happy with his performance, and how has he responded to that? I know you were there yesterday, but...
I don't know. I'm hoping he's responding the right way. I wasn't happy with him because he didn't do what we expect from him. He showed us what he can do. And I thought on Tuesday he was disappointing. But it's another day now, and hopefully with the talk that I had with him, then I'm going to get the response that I demand, because it wasn't acceptable.
Yeah, just talking about responses, Josh McGuinness and Mark Marshall came on for 20 minutes, half an hour. On Tuesday, they had to start on you as caretaker boss. How have they kind of responded to that? You know, kind of, cause under Carl, they were kind of in the team week in, week out, but they've kind of found minutes out to come by recent weeks.
Well, disappointed, I suppose, because they're not playing, because they want to play. Every player wants to play. But there's a lot of games coming up, and I'm sure that they've keep featuring, whether it's from the start or off the bench. So that's the way it is.
Yeah, one of those guys playing at the moment is today, Kai Kai. Yeah, I think fans would say he hasn't really kind of hit the heights that they maybe thought he would, given that, you know, how good he was for Shrewsbury. Do you think he's struggled for form since he's come here?
No, I was happy with him. I think on Tuesday night, I think the first 20, 30 minutes, I think he got himself in some good positions, drove at the back four, caused a lot of troubles. Okay, the end product ain't really been there at the moment, but he hasn't played or started any games for a long time, so... Obviously, it takes a little bit of time, but his work rate out of possession, fighting for the team, I couldn't really have asked much more from him on Tuesday, you know. That's why I kept him on, because he still looked sharp towards the end of the game. I took Reeves off because he was tired. He just looked absolutely shattered to me, and it don't surprise me, because he hasn't stopped. He's played every minute and he's worked his socks off. So I kept Kai Kai on, who looked a bit sharper, and a couple of times he got shots off but got blocked. So... he's a dangerous player, and he can just turn something out of nothing. So, I'm not disappointed with him. I think he's a good lad, and he's working hard for the team.
Did he get better?
Of course he can get better. Of course he can get better, because he's just lacking that little end product. But that happened. That'll fall for him. Like Tariq, you know. Tariq, him and Tariq, I think they're quite similar players. They like to receive the ball in them little pockets and hurt the other team. So... Yeah, I think Kai Kai had a chance on Tuesday, but just slipped as he hit it and put it over the bar. So, but he was in a good position, put it out wide, and was hungry enough to get into the box. So, no, I'm not disappointed with him. I think he's doing well.
You talk about him not really having that end product on Tuesday. Is that lack of confidence, do you think?
No, it's not lack of confidence. Sometimes it just happens. Like I said to you, he was in the right area, but he slipped as he shot. Like, he can't control that. I can't control that. So, but. For me, the most important thing is that he's getting on the ball and he's making things happen and he's getting in the right areas, because sooner or later he will score or he will set someone up, and then all of a sudden he'll be a hero.
Yeah, and for you personally, as caretaker manager, you've got 100% record at home against beating very good teams, promotion chasing teams. I mean, mentally, is that a good thing for you and your players, knowing that you get the draw or lose at home?
Yeah, that's obviously a good thing. I think... Scunny, I think, will be coming and will be worried about us playing at home. But we have to make it like that for every team that comes, and don't let our standards drop, because we have to win our own games. That's a must. So no matter who we're playing, and I'm confident that we will.
Obviously, something about a different playing side to AFC Wimbledon. But I mean, from Thursday to Saturday now, what can you kind of do to ensure that you do maybe create more chances than you managed on Tuesday?
Pass the ball better and quicker. But I'm guessing that they're playing then, because the way they play, then they'll be open on the counter. So where Wimbledon just basically sat there and said, come and break us down. So I think they're completely, you can't judge the two teams, they're completely different, you know. But they're going to come and try and win a game. They have to, because they're behind us. So, which I think will make it a better prospect for us in the long run. But I think it's going to be an exciting game. Two teams that want to play football. But for us, the most important thing is that we compete and then we pass the ball, move the ball quickly.
I know they're only a point or two away from Charlton, but do you think they're going to come in with maybe like a nothing to lose attitude, given where they are in the league at
Well, they have to win. They have to win because you're running out of games now. After Saturday, there's only four. So what's that, 12 points? There's not many to play for now. So, of course, they have to. If they're behind us, then they have to come and try and win.
Lee Bowyer there talking to Assemble Press ahead of the weekend's game at Scunthorpe in feisty spirits, I would say. We've gone over time, so I'm not going to mess around with this. First of all, Cashy back. I've given Nathan the chance to select one himself, but he's out suit shopping for some swanky do he's off to on Sunday. So we're leaving.
Caught.
Something. It could be caught. No, I think it's an EFL do or something like that. So I've left it up to you, Mark.
Yep.
His money is in your hands. Where are we going this week?
It's not going to be a big return. It's a home win. It's 2-1 and Jake to score.
Okay. To score any time or score first?
I'll say to any time.
There you go. So we'll get that message over to Nath for the cashy back bet. Be great to win on the weekend that the upbeats are here. And then secondly, your score prediction. Are you going with that or are you going to choose something different?
No, I'm going 2-1, but I think it'll be a tight one. I think it'll be a draw at half time. 1-1, and I think we'll ease it in the second half. And I don't think Novak will score, and I don't think Croft will score.
Croft surely. If Croft scores, I'm going home the minute he scores. I think we will win 3-1. I'm fairly confident, but we'll see. So, as I say, we have gone overtime. Mark, thanks very much for coming in.
You're more than welcome.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. I think Louis's back again on Sunday for the show to discuss the aftermath of the Scunthorpe game and look ahead in more detail to Shrewsbury. But until then, enjoy the upbeats walk. If you're there, come and say hello to us. Enjoy watching the upbeats on the pitch and hopefully enjoy 3 points for Charlton. Come on, you Reds.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.